This is St. Louis Public Radio. Crime on the Metrolink system returned to the spotlight recently with two homicides on or near trains less than a month apart. In response, the agency that runs the trains put more money towards safety, and changes in policing power are also meant to help reduce fears and crime. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman tells us what some riders think about the proposed changes.
Right line westbound, Upper Airport.
On a recent rainy morning, Michael Anderegg was waiting at the Convention Center Metrolink station downtown to catch a train to Wellston, a few miles west.
It's so weird seeing actual security on the trains.
The 29-year-old takes the train and a bus daily to get to his job with a big telecommunications company. He says he started seeing more guards in April after the fatal shooting on the Red Line near the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
I'm pretty pessimistic because they've amped up security in the past and then it's just kind of petered off. So hopefully this isn't a cycle that's going to repeat itself.
Right now, security is a bit of a hodgepodge. Three separate police departments handle the criminal stuff, like shootings or assaults, but only in their own territory. The Bi-State Development Agency, which runs the region's mass transit, addresses lower-level stuff like fare evasion. But earlier this month, things started to shift, says Bi-State CEO John Nations. First, the City of St. Louis and St. Louis and St. Clair counties created a new unified police force that will have jurisdiction everywhere on the system.
A sheriff could get on the system at Scott Air Force Base in St. Clair County and ride it all the way to Lambert. A county officer could get on at our Shrewsbury Station and ride it all the way to Scott Air Force Base.
Second, Nation says, starting July 1st, Bi-State will have an additional $20 million in its budget for public safety, with no limit on how it can be spent.
Turnstiles, cameras, whatever the law enforcement community thinks would help with security on the system on the most effective use of the resources that are available. Now there's a recognition that just adding more personnel alone will not be sufficient in the long term.
58-year-old Diane Lynn welcomes any talk of turnstiles. Lynn's a transit rider by choice. She can drive, but uses the money she saves on gas to travel the world. One 2016 incident at the Del Mar station made her rethink going without a car. She got off the bus and immediately heard gunfire. Turned out, a teenager had shot into the crowd and hit someone.
You take a chance, you know, but you take a chance pretty much anywhere you go. So for me, it's kind of like, but for the grace of God kind of thing. I don't want to not be able to have that option.
Lynn thinks turnstiles might have helped because it would have been harder for the teen to get onto the platform. But Malcolm Spence, a 72-year-old retired engineer and a native of England, says Metro's new security plans won't really do much.
With St. Louis, the Metro system problem is really an extension of the city's crime problem. There's nothing that you're not going to experience on the train system that you couldn't possibly experience at the Galleria in the parking lot late one night or at the ball game.
Spence rides the train from North County to downtown for events because it's sometimes more convenient than trying to find a place to park. That's when the system is busiest, and since there's safety in numbers, he's not worried about crime. Turnstiles and more police might be enough to get 34-year-old David Wise to take Metrolink again. He stopped his occasional rides after the recent killings.
I feel like it's an unnecessary risk at this time. Whether or not statistically it is safer to drive in a car, there is something to feeling safe that I think most people want.
Turnstiles should have been a part of the system from the beginning, Wise says, but he's glad they're part of the conversation now. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.